Certainly glad that you're here tonight, especially those that are visiting with us. We certainly count you our guest and hope you'll linger for a little bit after the services are over, we get better acquainted with you. Tonight I want to talk on the subject of authority. Again, this is the fourth in this series. I felt there was a need for those that are babes in Christ, really don't know much about establishing Bible authority. And it's good for us to be reminded as well for those that are more mature Christians. I will try to keep this as simple as possible tonight so that we might be able to follow along and understand the things concerning authority in God's Word as we talk about what things need to be bound tonight or what things, examples that need to be abounded. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, or rightly dividing the word of truth," or some of the newer versions say handling aright the word of truth. And the idea here is to cut straight or to proceed on straight paths, to hold a straight course, to make straight or smooth, to handle aright, to teach the truth directly and correctly. Just like that of a puzzle, we handle the Bible so that it fits together, because it fits together in the way that God intends for it to be. Now, I know there's a lot of people in their religion today that do not like to use the term pattern. They don't believe in patternism at all. There are those within churches of Christ across America tonight that do not believe in a pattern. Yet we see in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 5, it says, "For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me, in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of God, but it is from the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Or in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11, a more familiar passage to a lot of folks here, "If anyone speaks, let him speak. Let him speak as the oracles of God." And what we see regarding this idea of a pattern, the mark of a stroke or blow, the print, the figure formed by a blow or impression, an example in the technical sense, the pattern and conformity to which a thing must be made. And of course, we understand this from that of a blueprint for a house. Or for those that in the past, I don't know how many women actually sew anymore, but I know there was a lot of ladies here years ago that used to sew quite a bit. And the pattern that they would use to make their clothes or to make their children's clothes. We understand this is done in three ways. That of direct statements, that of examples to follow, and forced conclusions, and we'll go ahead and we'll talk about these in just a moment. Jesus and the apostles and prophets have given direct statements. There are commands that we are to follow. Over in John chapter 14 and verse 15, John 14, and in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 25. It says in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 25. "In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then we can go on to look at other passages there, but those will suffice. We go on to talk about prohibitions to avoid in 1 Peter and in chapter 2 and in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 11, he says in verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 3, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 22, it says in verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. There are affirmatives to respect over in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Says in verse 16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." So we can look at others, but those will suffice. Jesus and the apostles and prophets have given us divinely approved examples which we must emulate as well. Unless there is a compelling reason in the text to disregard approved examples, we must regard them as authoritative. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17, Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17, Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17, it says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us." Chapter 4 and in verse 9, it said, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of me, just as also I am of Christ." This is something you all dealt with in your New Testament class this morning about the fact of being an imitator, to follow an example, of Paul, to follow an example of New Testament Christians in different local churches that he talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that you all talked about this morning. But there are people that want to take this to an extreme one way or another. No example is binding. That's what some people say. That's what the commentator says here. "We say again without reservation, divine law is not established by human example." So he's saying there's no example for us to follow. On the other foot, or other hand, every example is binding. If so much as one example is bound, then every approved example must then be bound today. Well, let's look at that for just a second. If no example is binding, then elders are not appointed in every church. We see over in Acts and in chapter 14, Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and in verse 23, it says, "Then they appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So we see this as an example of this being done. But if somebody says there aren't any examples at all, then we couldn't prove the point that elders needed to be appointed in every church. Or that of other things here, baptism not immediate. We see with the Philippian jailer, immediately they took him out to be baptized. Might be the fact you just save up people for a year to be baptized, and then at the end of the year have a big baptism service. Or not obligated to become all things, or no weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. This is an example In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7, and we'll come back to that in just a second. On the other hand, if every example is binding, then we can only teach in schools owned by men named Tyrannus, because that's one of the examples that we see here. Or we can only meet for prayer and preaching in an upper room. This wouldn't suit the bill. We're down on the ground floor here. We need to be up in an upper room in order to be pleased to God. Or in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 36, to where they kneel in prayer. So we have to figure out the type of example that we are to use. What example is binding? So many choices in the Bible to choose from. The actions of any example must be consistent with the other undisputed scriptural teaching. An example here. In Galatians chapter 2, turn over there. Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. Galatians 2, verse 11 through 14. In Galatians 2, in verse 11, it says, "Now when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw himself and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined with him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away. Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." So the example is, Peter is a hypocrite. Peter is a bigot. Is that the example for us to follow? Is that the example for us to follow in the New Testament? Does the Lord teach for us to be a hypocrite and a bigot? Well, over in James, and in chapter 1, or James chapter 2, James chapter 2, and in verse 1, James chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an example of personal favoritism." In fact, he goes on to say in verse 9, "But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." So I draw a conclusion there that I'm not supposed to follow every example in the Bible when it comes in direct collision with something else in the Word of God that tells me not to show personal favoritism, that tells me that I am to love one another. I'm not to be a bigot. Uniformity is essential. Details must present in any example for the action involved to be considered binding. The idea here is the Christians met in various types of facilities. Can we just pick out one? No, they met in houses. They met in schools. They met in unidentified buildings. They met outside. They met in upper rooms. No example of action can be binding when it cannot be universally applied. We see in Acts 27:1 that Paul traveled by ship. Looking out here today, let's see. I guess the longest drive was probably to Sherry. Sherry lives in Lazy River Estate. I don't know if there's a lazy river or not behind the Lazy River Estate, but she didn't catch a ship on the Lazy River that hit the Salt River that finally landed in the Ohio River, to where she made her way by ship up the Ohio River to our congregation tonight or this morning. We understand there are different means used in the Word of God in order to expedite the gospel. It might be a ship, it might be a chariot, it might be by foot, it might be by horse. Today it's certainly by automobile. It must be an example and not an account. An example is one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. An account is a statement explaining one's conduct. A prime example of that is Acts 20, verse 7. I think I have it here. There we go. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul already was ready to depart the next day and spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, concerning the first part of this, we understand this is a pattern. This is a pattern that answers Matthew chapter 26 and in verses 26 through 29. In Matthew 26, 26 through 29, Matthew 26, 26 through 29, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread after blessing. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, take, eat, this is my body. And when he gave the cup, he gave thanks and said, drink all of it, all of you, which is my blood and the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, we see this is the pattern of when this occurs on the first day of the week. But at the same time, there is a pattern here in this same context. There is an account. An account of a man named Eutychus. A man named Eutychus who falls out of a window. Because he's sleepy. Because Paul preached until midnight. I know that you want to use the first part of this as a pattern. I don't think you want me to continue on here for another 7 hours until midnight to continue preaching. But we understand that the first part is a pattern and the other part is an account as he fell out of the third story. The other thing is that Jesus and the apostles expect us to reach necessary inferences when revealed. Necessary inferences must be conclusions that are unavoidable. One of the blessings of being on the internet for 5 billion people to hear is you get to read armchair quarterbacks all over the world that write to your emails. This is one of them. Talking about authority. I firmly believe that the binding of conclusions through the use of necessary inference is the cause of misunderstanding of Bible authority and thus division. So I could spend days just answering people on emails concerning what they don't agree with me in the Word of God. But hopefully they'll listen to this and make them matter. When I think of this, if Bible authority is not authorized by necessary inference, then the Bible does not authorize any action from individuals today. Because there are no explicitly addressed statements to you and to me, I don't see anywhere in the Bible to where it says that Rob Miller must be baptized. I know it's inferred that everyone who needs to be saved, needs to receive salvation, needs to be baptized. But it doesn't spell out the fact that Kent Willis over there in the Breckenridge Estates needs to be baptized into Christ. It doesn't spell it out in that way. In fact, in the position, I firmly believe that the binding of conclusions through the use of necessary inference is the cause of the misunderstanding of Bible authority and thus division is an explicit statement for the Bible, or does this person even use that of necessary inference in telling me that we shouldn't use necessary inference? Respecting necessary inferences. The existence of God is known by necessary inference. Cain's rejected sacrifice is understood by the means of necessary inference. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Cain heard the word of God and rejected the word of God. A child's innocence is known by means of necessary inference. In Matthew and in chapter 19... and in verse 14, Matthew 19, and in verse 14, says in verse 14, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He just doesn't come out and say children are pure. There is an unavoidable conclusion for us to draw concerning children. Knowing the possibility of falling from grace is understood by necessary inference. Or the innocent's right to remarry is known by means of necessary inference. Says Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." So the unavoidable conclusion is the innocent party has the right to be remarried. Necessary inference. Oh, one here and we'll end for tonight. Churches of Christ practice weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. Why and by what authority is this done? In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 19 it says, "He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is a command. Acts 20 and verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," this is the example We wouldn't know this other than this example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, for as often, how often? Well, the example is on the first day of the week. You eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, that's our lesson for tonight. That's a lot of information for you, but at the same time, hopefully it's been simple enough for you to understand. Thank you for your attention. Now extend the invitation for those that need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understanding the commands and the examples and the unavoidable conclusions that can be drawn within God's word, or for those that need to repent of their sins, we invite you to come right now. While together we stand, we sing.